October 16th, 1982, seemed to be a good night for football in Madison, Wisconsin. 78,000 fans had showed up to watch their beloved Wisconsin Badgers take on the Michigan State Spartans. The Badgers did end up winning that game 24-23, but for so much of the game, it did not look good for the Wisconsin team. It looked like their Badger team and their fans were going to go home disappointed. But even though the Badgers were down most of the game, every now and then, as the game went along, that crowd of 78,000 people, you would hear people cheering when it seemed like it really didn't fit with the flow of the game. Wisconsin would be stopped for a third down, and all of a sudden you just hear cheers everywhere across the stadium. A pass would be dropped by one of their receivers, and they would cheer and applause. And even during a timeout, the crowd all of a sudden just went crazy with cheering. And you think, what in the world's going on here? Well, you see, many of the fans at the ball game, at this football game, had brought their radios with them. And as they were watching a football game in front of them that wasn't going so well, they were listening to another game, a baseball game, that was just 70 miles down the road in Milwaukee. In Milwaukee, the baseball Brewers were beating the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 4 of the 1982 World Series. And so even if the playing field in front of them didn't look so good, the crowd was not dismayed because they knew there was a more important game going on down the road. A game that they knew their team was winning and they had something to cheer about. Now, I would imagine you know where I'm going with this illustration. Right now, the game of life in front of us doesn't seem to be going so well. There is war and bloodshed that is taking place around the world. There is racism and hatred that is spurring those wars on, and selfishness and greed. And those are sins that are not just prevalent over there, but they are prevalent here as well. There's, on top of that, drug abuse and child abuse and bitterness and lying and lust and on that list goes, that adds to the chaos all around us. And it's easy for one to think that we are living in a world that has no hope. That the battle we are fighting is a losing battle, that we have nothing to cheer about. But I want to encourage you, Christians, take courage. Tune your ear into the Word of God and understand that the battle has already been won by Jesus. Things may seem out of kilter in front of us and all around us, and they are, and they always will be, as long as Satan is roaming this earth. He will create havoc everywhere he goes, but Jesus is going to right the ship someday. He's going to have the last say, and we just need to hang on to him. He has won the battle against the evil one by raising up from the dead. And one day he will raise all of us who are his to victory forevermore. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 says, by his death, speaking of Jesus' death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. Satan's destiny is fixed. He has already been judged, and he will suffer eternal destruction. The scripture says that Jesus will hurl him into the lake of fire, and then the door will be sealed shut over him. Jesus' victory will be our victory. So don't be dismayed at what you see going on all around you. As you see the chaos, as you see the confusion, as you see the crime, as you see the sin that is prevailing in our world today, just understand that the day is coming when everything will be made right, and it will be perfect, this perfect world that Jesus and God his Father intended from the very beginning for us to enjoy. That's his promise to us. Until then, yes, there is a lot of darkness in this world. The scripture speaks of that darkness, and I find it interesting as I was looking at a number of scriptures this last week, just researching the word darkness in scripture, I found it interesting that oftentimes, along with the admission of darkness in this world, there is the promise of light to come. Let me read to you some of those verses that I found this last week. Ephesians 5, verses 8, from the New Living Translation, it says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord." John chapter 1, verse 5, the New International Version, it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Acts 26, verses 16 through 18 from the New International Version. These are the words of Jesus to Saul as he was on the road to Damascus. He says, "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you and appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them," what? "From darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Let me read to you one other verse. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus is speaking. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so, yes, there is darkness all around us. That's the nature of this fallen world that we live in. There is death. There is sickness. There is lawlessness. In fact, all you have to do is just look at the headlines of the news, and you see the truth of that. This, as I was preparing this sermon, I got my phone out and went to the internet just to look at some of the headlines in the news of the last couple of weeks. And you know what I found? There's plenty of darkness in those headlines. A school shooting was found there. Three men in Kansas City whose bodies were found, and fentanyl was found in their bodies. Violent gang members committing murder. The headlines just went on and on and on. Yes, there is lots and lots of darkness all around us. And it really gets pretty close to home too, doesn't it? As we saw and read about a man who entered into a church building near us and set it on fire for no good reason at all. The darkness seems to be prevailing. But again, take courage, Christians. Light, the light of Jesus, overcomes the darkness. John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Think about that. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I'm going to ask Rusty if he would turn the lights out for just a moment. The light shines in the darkness. There's not a person in this room that can't see this one little light on my phone. And if we had all these windows and the doors shut and the windows covered, it would be pitch dark in here, and this light would show up even more. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He said, "I'm going to be the one who's shining in the darkness." And it doesn't matter how dark the world gets. It doesn't matter how dark your world gets. Whatever problem you might have, whatever struggle that might be coming and knocking on your door, however dark your world may seem, I want you to know Jesus is the light of the world, and His light will always overcome the darkness, even the darkness in your life. Doesn't matter how big that problem is. It doesn't matter how tough the road is getting. Jesus is the light that will overcome the darkness in your life. Would you watch this video from The Chosen, please?
We removed her.
Please, I have a promise I won't touch him. I just need...
Oh, woman, please, we can help you, but not now.
Sorry. Try tomorrow.
Oh, please, just a moment. Jesus Christ.
What's wrong? Who touched me?
Everybody back.
Back.
I asked the question. Who touched me?
Master, the crowds are pressing in all around you like this, and you're asking who touched you? They all have.
Someone touched me. I felt that power went out of me. Whoever touched me, come forward.
Teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge. I promise, you are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. And I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and no one could stop it. But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment. And I was right. Thank you.
Who told you I could heal?
A man from the pool. And he was right. The blood has ceased.
My daughter.
I'm no one's daughter anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know. But it wasn't this. It was your faith.
Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her.
She is clean. You have blessed me today. And I know. My daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. You must be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well. I wish I could stay here longer, but I have business to attend to. Someone else has faith like yours. I'm so glad that we found each other.
Hey there, it's Dallison, the creator of The Chosen.
Rusty, you can turn the lights back on. Can you imagine the darkness that lady lived in for 12 years? She had a hemorrhaging issue. She had been to every doctor she could think of, asking, begging, seeking help, and no help could be given to her. Scripture says that she had spent every penny that she had trying to find help, trying to find light amidst her darkness, and no one could give her that light. No one could bring hope to her. Because of her bleeding issue, she was unclean. She was a castaway from society. She couldn't go into the temple to worship. In fact, even her own family had probably shunned her, because if they touched her, they would be unclean. This is the darkness that she lived under for 12 long years. And Jesus said, you must be exhausted from your darkness. And she was. She was hopeless. There was nobody to help, but she heard about Jesus and she thought, maybe he can help me. And you saw it, you've read it from Scripture. She ran through the crowd, she made her way through that crowd, and she reached out and she touched just the fringe of his garment, and the light overcame the darkness. Just that fast. And that's what Jesus wants to do for us. The darkness that we are in, from our sin, He wants to bring light to us. In fact, there is no darkness in your life that he cannot overcome it with his light. No sin, no problem, no habit, no addiction, no worry, no struggle, no situation that you find yourself in that his light isn't greater than the darkness that you're facing. We just have to reach out to him in faith. And he can heal us too. He is the light that shines in the darkness. The world desperately needs him, right? The world desperately needs him. We need to share him. We need to tell others about him. We've been talking about that all through this year. And our theme has been Mission Possible. We must spread the light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We learned that song in VBS or Sunday school. Those of us who have been around the church for many years, that's a familiar song to us. We must let the light of Jesus shine to a dark world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, so that all who are in the house may see the light. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Would you get your phone out for a moment? I know most of you have a phone. Would you get it out? Turn it on? Turn your light on? Hold it up. Look around. Turn those lights off again, Rusty, would you please? We need to let our light shine for Jesus. Earlier, when it was just my light, there wasn't much light, but you could see it. But you look around. My, oh my, lots of lights. And what kind of impact could we have upon our world around us if we would just let our light shine for Jesus? And so let me speak to several different groups here for just a moment. Young people, as you are in school, would you let your light shine to those peers who are around you? I mean, so many of your peers are living in the darkness. They easily follow the crowd. They don't have the courage to stand up and do the right thing. Maybe they don't know what the right thing is. Young people, would you let your light shine at school? Would you have the courage to let the Holy Spirit just empower you during this school year and let your light shine for Jesus brightly in the classroom, whether it be on the football field or the volleyball court, to your boyfriend or to your girlfriend? Young people, will you let your light shine for Jesus? Let me speak to the teachers for a moment. Would you let your light shine at school to your students? And I know we have several teachers here today. Those students need a light to shine for them. Because you know it, and I know it, we all know it. There's a lot of kids at the school that they aren't receiving any kind of light at home from mom and dad. And so they need somebody to show the light to them. Teachers, will you let your light shine to those students? They need somebody to love them. Somebody to guide them. Somebody to encourage them. Somebody to be Jesus to them. Will you let your light shine to those students, teachers? And will you let your light shine to your fellow teachers when when other teachers are complaining and gossiping and just getting involved in that kind of activity, negativity, will you let your light shine to them in whatever way Jesus leads you to? How about college students and young adults? Will you let your light shine to those people who are around you? At your age, it's so easy for you to just fall in step with the crowd, because, you know, just like as you maybe have seen The Chosen before, and their logo is all these fish going in one direction. It's so easy to go with the crowd all in one direction, but then you see there's some fish that turn around and they start swimming against the current. Will you be one who is letting your light shine by being willing to swim against the current, to not go with the crowd, because you know where the crowd is going to? The crowd is going to hell. And Jesus said that. The crowd is going to hell. We can't just go with the crowd. We have to be different from the crowd. We have to let our light shine. And so, young adults and college students, would you let your light shine and be different from the crowd? Will you pursue personal holiness? Will you save yourself for your future mate and not just give yourself away sexually to any and every partner that comes along? No, don't do that. Don't fall in with the crowd. Will you be different from the crowd? Will you let your light shine? His ways are best for you, and you need to let your light shine amidst the darkness. Moms and dads, will you let your light shine to your kids? Hold those lights up again. If you're a mom or if you're a dad, hold that light high. Will you be Jesus in the home to your kids? Will you control your tongue? Will you control your temper? Will you lay your phone down and give time and attention to your kids? They need you. Will you show your kids how to forgive by offering forgiveness to those who offend you? Will you show your kids how to love their neighbor by loving your neighbor? Will you let your light shine for Jesus, moms and dads? Will you show your kids what it means to get into the Word of God and to love that book with all of your heart? To give attention to that book? Will you show them what it means to be involved in the church, to love the church, to be willing to give of your money to the kingdom of God, because you understand this is an investment that is for eternity. It's not just a temporary investment. It's an investment for eternity. Your kids are watching you, and they are learning from you, and they will imitate you. Will you let your light shine, parents, moms, and dads? How about grandparents? Raise your phone, grandparents. Will you let your light shine to the people around you, to your grandchildren, to your friends? Will you choose to pray instead of worry? Will you choose to trust Him instead of trusting the stock market and all of your stuff? Will you choose to serve Him in your retirement rather than just look out for your own self? Will you let your light shine for Jesus? You can have the lights back on. There are so many folks out there who need Jesus. They need for their world of darkness to have a light come in and show them the way. And we can be that light. Jesus is calling us to be that light. You know, we're all unclean, like the lady in the video. And we can't try to fix our problem. We can't do it. We can't fix our problem of uncleanness. The only way that we or anybody else can fix their problem of uncleanness is to surrender fully to Jesus, to reach out to him in faith and grab hold of him. And he is so willing to receive us. Let your light shine in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven.